Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN, powered by the National Coalition of Labor. I'm Ken with the National Coalition of Labor, Ed Maher, National Coalition of Labor. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning to you, Ken.
No Phil today. Phil had a loss in his family.
Yes.
Which we will talk about later. How was your dry January? Good?
My dry January?
Yeah.
It was great. Just like my dry December and dry November and... Yeah, everything is good.
Good.
I walked out of my house every day and was not surprised to see my car in the driveway. So it's a wonderful gift.
All right. You want to hear some good news?
I do.
All right. Volkswagen, right? We talk about the UAW. They won their election down there. They're
2 years ago.
Was it 2 years ago?
It was in 2024.
Holy cow.
Yeah. They've been fighting for a contract for a long time.
Well, they just settled. And I don't know the terms of the contract yet, but I did hear a couple little tidbits that they got 20% wage increases over the term of the contract.
That's right.
And I think they made some inroads on health insurance.
They did. They were able to reduce the cost to the employees of their same health insurance.
That's awesome.
And this is in Chattanooga, Tennessee.
Yes.
This was the first auto manufacturing plant in the South to organize since the 1940s.
Wow.
And the first foreign automotive manufacturing plant to organize in the South ever.
So, question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean that we can drive Volkswagens now?
I think if they're made in that facility, an argument could be made.
So how would you know?
I don't know. I would probably just Google that or something. I don't know.
I mean, wouldn't
ask
be,
the UAW.
But, like, no, it's a good question because they say, like, you know, if you want to, like, really know which one's made in Belvedere, it's this. And
yeah, there
you know,
are codes on the different,
that's right,
on the VIN number.
But if you're, look, if I want to drive around in a Volkswagen now because I want to support union-made cars made in America, even though I guess it's still a foreign company, I would like to not, you know, get eggs thrown at my car. You know, or whatever, right? So couldn't there be something on the back that says, you know, VW USA Union or something like that?
You should sell these ideas. You can't give them away for free on the radio, Ken. But yeah, I mean, if it's a union-made car, every year the UAW puts out a list of vehicles that's UAW or Unifor, which is the Canadian equivalent.
Yes.
And so I would imagine these Volkswagens will be on that list.
For sure.
Yeah.
But you don't know, because you can buy, you know, a Jeep Cherokee that's fully made in Mexico.
For sure.
Right?
Yeah. One of my first Ford cars when I started working for Local 150, I went out and bought, I think it was a Ford Fusion. And it was just like, got my American car and then I looked it up. It was made in Mexico. I was like, oh, man, well, my heart was in the right place. But let's remember, like, there have been two other organizing drives in the South with Volkswagen that were not successful before this one.
Yes.
And in both cases, Volkswagen said, we don't have a problem with this. You know, from the headquarters in Germany, they're like, we have no problem with this. This is fine.
Right.
And it was only local politicians that meddled with this and torpedoed the whole thing.
And like clergymen.
Yeah, they started talking. They started bringing out the ministers to say unions are bad.
I mean, come on. It's
all of outrageous. A sudden that minister's driving a brand new, I don't know, Toyota.
Yeah, that's a good point. But yeah, like here, what happened to small, you know, government with a small G, right? Like, why are you getting involved?
Well, it's one of those things that's,
like you talked about the
when
PLAs
it's convenient
last
for
week,
them,
right? Like you talked about the thing in Indiana.
Yeah, I mean, who in Indiana would have thought that the government would be encouraging people to or barring them from getting into agreements between themselves? It's like that's what government's not supposed to do, right?
Yeah, well, it's
look, meddling.
It's a private contract, right, between a union and a private company. The government should have nothing to do with it other than oversee, you know, the laws that surround
it. Make sure it's legal.
Yeah, exactly, right? But don't get involved and go like, we don't want unions here in Tennessee because that might raise the wages of Tennesseans.
Yeah. I mean, when big, wealthy businesses are telling you that making more money is going to be bad for you, don't believe them. It's been good for them. It could be good for you, too.
Yeah, I think you're right about that.
Yeah.
So, And let me just say this before we take a break, because we're going to have Ron Whittingham come in.
Yes, we do.
From Megan Financial. There have been, you know, talking about jobs, right? And we'll come back and touch on this in a second. But, you know, these like the wind turbine farms mm-hmm. and those, these like quote unquote green energy things that Trump is so against because it wasn't his idea, and that right. are creating, you know, tens of thousands of hundreds of thousands of jobs and millions woke. Of man hours. Yes, too woke. There have been, I think, four or five now reversals
yes.
of those orders.
He's gotten his lunch served to him yes. every time that he's yes. banned one of these.
The and we're going to talk about one specific one coming up here pretty quick, right?
Yeah, we are.
All right, let's take a quick break, and then you want to...
We'll be back with Ron Whittingham.
All right, we'll have Ron come in, and then we'll talk further after that. So we'll be right back with more of The Worker's Mic right here on 720 WGN.
You're listening to The Worker's Mic, powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Worker's Mic right here on 720 WGN. So, as we said at the top of the hour, we are super stoked today to have, once again, Ron Whittingham from Megan Financial. Welcome, Ron.
Glad to be here, Ken.
Yeah, thanks for coming in. Thanks for your sponsorship. Thanks for all your hard work. So, quick overview, right? Megan Financial is what? Like, just give us the 2-second overview of what you guys do.
Yeah, 2 seconds. We're financial advisors, but we're built for unions. I've been doing this for 26 years, mm-hmm. and 99.9% of what we do is work with building trades folks. We do some Chicago Fire, some teachers.
Yep.
But I mean, I think we do what we do for 90% of the building trades here in the Cook and Collar counties.
Is that right?
Yeah.
And now, obviously, through the coalition, right,
we're moved expanding. Across the country.
Yeah. Yeah, 11 states. I mean, how many 100,000 members now?
300,000 plus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you said something important, and I want to just like make this clear to the business managers and the unions that are listening that may not use your services already or may not fully use them, yeah. right? Know who you are, but maybe just send folks to you. Like, you will actually do seminars and help people retire or talk to an apprentice, you know, class or even anything in between. And you can give financial advice because you're fiduciary.
Correct. Yeah. Right? Yeah. We can. And because we have worked with pensions, and it's an amazing fact that less than 10% of Americans have the defined benefit plans that we know that our members, that the members of these unions have.
Right.
And that's you think here in Chicago that it's a much more prevalent, because I grew up on the South Side. You know, my mom was a retired school teacher,
sure.
pension.
Sure.
My buddies are firefighters, cops, pensions, union members, yep. pensions. Mm-hmm. But less than 10% of Americans have pensions. So when these union members are going to search out financial advice,
yeah.
these financial advisors look at them like they have three eyes when they
I've
have been, a pension.
Yeah, I've experienced that.
Same. I've had the same conversation. Like, what do you mean you have a pension? You have another 401k? I'm like, no, I have a pension. Well, what's that? I'm yeah. like, well, you shouldn't be asking me what's that.
Yeah, our software can't model that. I'm like, right. wow. Yeah. All right, nice meeting you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and plus they charge more than you would charge to manage the money anyway.
Yeah, and you know, the thing of it is, because, you know, these pensions are, they're different. Every pension plan is different, yep. but at the same time, they're somewhat similar. So our advisors, when they're sitting with a plumber, an electrician, an iron worker, whoever it may be, mm-hmm. you know, we know that plan, so we don't have to learn new things.
Right.
Where other financial advisors, you know, they have to sit with a doctor, figure out that plan, then the attorney, then the business owner. So we can charge less because it's a lot of the same.
Right.
So yeah. we do charge less than anybody out there that I know. In my opinion, again, I'm biased because it's my company. Mm-hmm. But it's, you know, we provide a lot more value because we understand those benefits. And to be honest with you, I think the biggest benefit of our firm is when the member's gone and his wife is there. You know, the pension stop. She has no idea what she's getting. Mm-hmm. We become advocates for these people
right.
to make sure that they get everything they have coming due.
So pension may not stop, right? Because when you retire, you have a choice of picking a surviving spouse benefit or something like that.
Sure. Well,
correct?
Yeah, correct. If, I mean, and a lot of them do have spousal benefits. Yeah. But when I say stop, I mean, they do stop mm-hmm. because they don't know who to pay right. and where to send it and how much tax. So the pensions, they stop.
Interesting.
But we help them start it up again.
That's good.
Well, these benefits can be challenging to understand for the members as well as for their spouses throughout their career. I mean, unions have a hard enough time kind of educating their members on what they have. So having you there where you have this intricate understanding of the benefits and can walk them through it in a simple way, and then their spouses, you know, when that time comes to be able to say, like, here are all the things that are coming to you. you know, the sky's not falling. And, you know, our experience has always been, what we hear back from members is that your folks handle that with compassion, you know, with respect. And, you know, it's always been a real value add for our members.
Yeah, I've never got a complaint about
Megan Financial. Knocking on wood.
Right, knock on wood.
Me too.
Yeah. So if somebody wants to get a hold of you, give us a phone number.
708-444-1090.
Is that like a...
It's like the tax form.
Okay, fair enough. You did it on purpose?
Kind of.
And what about a website?
Megant, M-E-G-E-N-T, .com.
Megant.com. Easy. So, Ed, you had something interesting that we were talking about off air, that you read a statistic about Americans' savings.
Yeah, there was a report that I read this week, and it was covered on, you know, the New York Times, CNN, Washington Post, everywhere.
Fake news.
Right. No, this is very real, and I wish this was fake, but this is real. The National Institute of Retirement Security put out numbers saying two things: that the median American, or the median savings for the average American worker aged 21 to 64 is $995. So the average American worker has $995 saved for their retirement, which... sad, shocking. I mean, I shouldn't say shocking. It's sad, but I wasn't terribly surprised. And then also, part of the thing that fuels this is 56 million American workers, adult American workers, which is a huge number, have no access to a retirement plan through their employer or through a union. So they don't really have a vehicle. Even if they wanted to try to save money, they'd have to go up and set up, you know, go out and set up their own IRA, whatever. So folks are not saving money, and folks don't really have a clear, easy way to save money.
So what do you say to that, Ron? Is there some suggestion that you have as to how folks can, because like you said, you've always said, like, the time to start saving is yesterday, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's the case. I mean, compound interest, I mean, the earlier you start, the better off you're going to be. But at the same time, you know, in today's day and age, with inflation really taking a bite out of everybody's paycheck, you know, the first thing you're going to kick the can is retirement.
Sure.
Because
you got to pay bills.
We're never going to retire, right?
Right. Yeah.
I mean, come on. Yeah. Trust me. You snap a finger, your kids are out in college, and it's like, how did I get here?
Sure.
You know? Yep. So, but with the union members who listen to the show, like all the members of the NCL, or a lot of them, you know, have defined benefit plans. And a lot of the trades that we work with, from day one as a journeyman, in whichever trade they're in, they're putting somewhere between 25% and 30% of their pay away for retirement.
No, we're extremely lucky, and we know that. But what about the 50 million Americans that have no way to fund their retirement other than they have to do it themselves?
Yeah, I mean, if you have to do it yourselves, you can open up an IRA, a Roth IRA, something like that. But I would have the workers encourage their employers to set up a 401k plan, and any financial advisor can help do that, because the limits on how much you can save are a lot higher in a retirement plan than they are in a retail Roth IRA. This year, you can put, if you're under 50, $7,000 into a regular or Roth IRA, and you have up until April 15th of this year, so tax day.
Did you say 7,000?
7,000 under 50, 8,000 over 50.
Got it.
And you have up until April 15th of this year to put in a prior year contribution.
For last year. Got it.
Yeah.
So if you have an extra $7,000 or $8,000 laying around, you know, just now's the time to open up one of these things.
But you can start it with anything. I mean, we don't have account minimum, so I think the minimum is like $250. And start it that way, but then find some money each paycheck, each month, to defer. And it can be like a bill where you're putting $50, $100, $200.
Look, I told my kid, he's in, you know, early 20s, and he takes $25 a week and he drops it into, you know, a plan. And I'm like, great. It's a good way to start. You're not going to miss the money.
Is he buying silver or gold right now?
I think he's buying weed, if I'm not mistaken.
The price of that's going up every, you know, I heard.
But yeah, it's you got to start someplace. So if somebody just average American that doesn't have one of these things had a question, they can call you.
For sure. We're here to help everybody.
We appreciate that.
You know, like I told you guys before, I mean, our niche is obviously unions. I mean, this is all we really do.
Right.
I should say working class people.
Sure.
You know, 99% of what we do. So that is our niche.
Look, but, I like it. There you go.
I learn something new every day.
So, but here, you know, and we've said this before, and I'll say it again, to these nascent unions, you know, the Starbucks, the Amazons, the Trader Joe's, the blah, 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 whatever it is, right? Go after the gusto and ask for a pension, or not only ask for it, demand a pension, right? Or at least get a 401k with a match.
Yeah.
I'll tell you another thing that, you know, we're going to be talking about this more in the future, but that the coalition, you know, sort of like is helping basically stand this thing up. It's really for operator locals, but we're going to roll out a for lack of a better word, annuity, but it's really like a 401k for unions that don't have one, mm-hmm. right? And it's called USA, Union Strength Annuity.
That's right.
It's a catchy name.
It is.
And so it's a one-stop shopping, like, hey, union, right? You don't have one? Here it is. Put it in the contract. Get an employer match. Can't do that. Have members just take some money off of their paycheck, goes in there. And Ron, you're obviously a big part of having set this up. We appreciate it. It's yeah. almost ready. It's yeah. almost I mean, baked.
We're should be April 1 ready to roll. So, you know, and a lot of these employers can, you know, even if the workers are begging for this 401k or yeah. some sort of retirement plan. I mean, as an employer, you want to keep your employees happy.
For sure.
So you would think so.
I mean, I know I do.
Well, yeah.
Because we're nothing without our employees. You can have a great idea, and if you can't execute on that, you have a great idea.
So you're saying that employers, smart ones anyway, should at least give their employees some modicum of retirement safety, whether that's a 401k, whether it's a pension, but just something to say like, hey, we value you, we want you to stay here. Unfortunately, though, I think the reality is that there are employers now, and quite frankly, probably employees as well, that don't plan on staying someplace their whole career,
mm-hmm.
right? If you're working in an Amazon warehouse, you're not staying there for 40 years.
Yeah, I mean, there was a massive trend of people bouncing from job to job for right. years, but yeah. that's kind of stopped.
Yeah.
Because people right now aren't really getting laid off, but nobody's getting hired. So everyone who has a job, by and large, is kind of staying where they are right now.
So maybe that's the time to ask. Maybe there's a time to join a union. It's easier to ask en masse, right?
Right.
You know, or demand or form a union and get some of these benefits than it is by yourself. Like, hey, Mr. Bezos, my name is Ken, and I'd love a 401k, please.
Yeah. I mean, something that I always hear when we talk about pensions from, you know, the 90% that don't have pensions is, it's like, well, that must be nice. It's like, yeah.
You're putting your money in there, though. I mean,
for sure.
It's you're putting money in. You maybe don't have the second home or the Range Rover, but, you know, you're going to be able to live a great life in retirement.
Yeah. I mean, union members elect to either take the money and put it on their paycheck, put it into something else. They put it into a pension instead of putting it on their paycheck. But yeah. the idea is, like, having retirement savings, yeah, it is nice. That's the idea, is everybody should be able to retire someday.
Right. Don't work until you die.
Right.
Right.
So if you're in the boat where you haven't got anything saved, or you don't have a vehicle to save, you know, take a step, figure it out, because yeah. it's important and everybody wants it for you.
Well, these 401k plans, if you do change jobs, to your point, Ken, mm-hmm. you move from Amazon warehouse to somewhere else, they are portable.
Yeah, sure.
They
can roll
right?
them over.
Right. So, you know, that is the one nice thing. So, you know, if your employer doesn't want to match, just set the plan up for the employees so they can retire at some point in time, and, you know, they're not forced to work in for their health insurance until they're 70 years old.
Right.
Yeah, no question about it. Well, listen, Ron, thank you as always for coming in. Thanks for everything that you do for our members. One more time, if people want to get a hold of you, what do they call?
708-444-1090.
And the website?
MEGENT.com.
All right, awesome. Thanks so much. Listen, that was Ron Whittingham, owner of Megan Financial, and a big sponsor of the show. Actually, the reason that the show started.
That's right.
Right?
It's a good story.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll be right back with more of the Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Workers' Mic. More show to come. Sponsored by Hinge Health. Hinge Health specializes in personalized digital exercise therapy designed for hardworking people just like you. It's pain relief without waiting rooms and costly medications. Visit hingehealth.com today. Now, back to the show.
You're listening to The Workers' Mic, powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premis Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN. You had something interesting about, so we talked for a second earlier about the, you know, these woke green energy jobs and how Trump is just getting his lunch handed to him by trying to stop them, and the federal courts are overturning that left and right, and the jobs are continuing, mostly wind energy, things like that. But there's one particular job that's going on in New York and New Jersey right now that's massive, massive, right?
Right.
And it's a tunnel.
Gateway Tunnel. It's a $16 billion project. I mean,
and it's already it's halfway through.
Right. It's under construction. There are currently about 1,000 people, men and women, working on it. Yeah. And if this push to cut funding isn't, you know, withdrawn, those folks are going to be done in like a week, and you're going to have a half-finished multi-billion-dollar tunnel. Like,
right.
You're creating the thing you hate most, you know, government waste. But
right.
But so this is something where he said that all this funding was going to be taken away, and reporting just kind of came out on Friday from a number of different outlets that the president had said he would restore the funding for this tunnel, but with a condition.
What's the condition?
He approached Senator Chuck Schumer from New York, Democratic senator, and said he would restore it if he could get Penn Station, the largest train station, I think, in America.
Yeah, I think so.
But certainly in New York, and Dulles International Airport in Washington, named after him. So that's what this is all about. So
right.
the governor of New York, Kathy Hochul.
Hochul, I think.
Hochul.
Yeah.
She tweeted a picture of Trump Tower with the name Hochul Tower and said that was her counter to his suggestion. So people are having fun with just the childish, silly, non-serious nature. But, you know, as we're saying this, the outcomes could be very serious. If you're losing 1,000 jobs and spending billions of dollars on half a tunnel, because half a tunnel is not very useful, Ken. I don't know if you know that. A whole tunnel, very useful.
What half is it?
Anything less
is
than...
Is it the half that goes to New York or away from New York?
I think anything less than a full tunnel is exactly as useful as no tunnel whatsoever.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
So
I'm not an engineer or anything, but I know about tunnels.
Well, I'll tell you this. Here's my suggestion, Kathy Hochul and Chuck Schumer and Dulles Airport. Because what's the other one? It's Reagan. It used to be
right.
National, I think.
I don't know.
It was something else, right? They renamed that one, but I don't think they were doing it as a quid pro quo. I think they did it after he died.
Quid pro quo, like with a gun to your head.
Yeah. So my suggestion is say yes and call it, you know, Trump Penn Station or whatever. Who cares? Trump National Airport. And then as soon as he's out of office, just rename it.
It's all a giant waste of time.
Whatever.
You know, you can't give the kid the candy bar. You got to tell the kid no sometime, Ken.
I don't think this is the time to do that. It's like, let's die on another hill. You want your name on there? Who cares? Go ahead, put it on there. Because if it's going to create billions of dollars worth of, you know, infrastructure and jobs and whatnot, I don't care. It's just like the next president. My first agenda is to get rid of Trump's name.
They should just sue him for the funding because it works every other time they do it. The courts are just like, oh, yeah, you can't cancel a project for no reason.
Have they not already done that?
I don't know where it's at.
I'm sure they have, but whatever. So, anyway, it's crazy. It's
not
crazy.
Surprising.
It's not surprising. It's nuts, but we're talking about people with real, you know, jobs at stake and their families and people that have moved there and are working there. Same with these wind, you know, turbine things, right? I mean, these are real, you know, livelihoods that we're talking about.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, and along those lines, Ed, you want to hear, there's two pieces of good news. What do you want to hear first? Good news or bad news?
Let's go with the good news.
All right, good news. Two politicians recently were elected that are union members.
That's right.
And one is like actually a union leader in Kentucky. So here, I'll go first. The state senator, Gary Clemens, in Kentucky, he is the head of, I want to say, the steelworkers union in Kentucky. And in 2017, Kentucky, along with everybody else in that wave, went right to work.
Mm-hmm.
And so this guy's brand new, and he stands up and he says, here's my first bill, repeal right to work. I love it.
Yeah.
I absolutely love it. And good for him, man. And he's like, I'm not going to forget where I came from. Like, I'm still a steelworker. I'm still actually the head of my union, and I want to repeal right to work.
When we were talking about 2026 being the year of the worker in Wisconsin specifically, that was something that came up with a lot of folks who are running for statewide seats, or, you know, state legislative seats, I should say. They're promise was we're going to get rid of right to work. Like, it's become a winning issue for Democrats and Republicans
all day, every day.
Right. So, and it's wonderful.
There was another one that won, right, in Texas?
Yeah, there was a president of a machinist, an IAM union leader. His name is Taylor Remmett, and he won a Senate seat in Texas. This was a district that was carried by Trump in 2024 by 17 points.
Wow.
And this Democrat won it with 57% of the vote.
Holy moly.
It was kind of funny. Some reporters asked the president of the White House about it, and he's like, oh, I don't know anything about that. But the previous day, he had made a call to all voters to vote for the opponent.
He did?
So maybe the sway that used to be held is starting to wane. I think people are.
So he was on the phone and he called every single one of them?
It was like, you know, I'm guessing it was on Truth Social, Ken.
Robocallers.
But anyway, one of the things that was so powerful in this victory was a promise to return technical education, vocational education to public schools.
In Texas.
Right. Something that resonated with people because folks can't afford college. And this is in the Fort Worth area. You know, there's a lot of blue-collar jobs, but people need skills. So sure. He came out and just said, we have to give our students the skills. There's nowhere else to get them. Let's put vocational education back in schools.
Mm-hmm.
And it worked. People, and I think we'll see more and more folks. All of a sudden, the people who have been, you know, saying we should dismantle the Department of Education,
right,
cut school funding, you know, attack libraries, all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to see everyone taking a lesson from this and wrapping their arms around vocational education like it was their idea, or in some cases, like they haven't been fighting to destroy it for the last 30 years.
Right.
And it's going to become an issue, which is important. I think it's good for everybody because folks have to know, as they said in Caddyshack, the world needs ditch diggers too, Danny.
Did they say that in Caddyshack? Yeah. I didn't know that.
The world needs ditch diggers too.
Well, whatever. I mean, you don't have to, you know, it's not just ditching.
You can make a lot of money digging ditches.
Not just digging ditches, but, you know, look, it's skilled trades, right?
For sure.
And so these are not easy jobs. You know, I got a call the other day from a woman that's listening to the show, and she specifically said, like, I want to be an electrician.
Mm-hmm.
Remember when we had that woman, Alyssa Cruz?
Alyssa Cruz, yeah.
Yeah, I think we should have her back on and see, like, because she was like a third or fourth year apprentice.
As long as things are going well, we'll have her back on.
I'm assuming they are.
I have no doubt.
You know, said, like, hey, how do I get into the trades? And so, you know, I connected the two, and, you know, hopefully she'll help and, you know, get her in there. But
yeah.
But you're right. And so as AI starts to take, I shouldn't even say starts anymore, you know, some of these white-collar jobs, right, people are like, wait a second, I need to sort of rethink my career path and maybe, you know, manual labor, construction, working in the trades, you know, things like that is something that we should take a look at.
Yeah, my daughter's 15, and I think regularly about if I had to advise her on a solid, secure major in college, I have no idea what that is.
That's a really good point.
What won't be impacted by this? You can't guess. You know, nobody knows.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, do you have to even go to college anymore?
It's a very valuable question, whether the return on investment is there or not. And I think there are valid arguments on both sides.
Yeah, I think so, too. So here, and then, now let's talk quickly on the bad news. Layoffs.
Mm-hmm.
There has been a slew of layoffs. Amazon, 16,000 people. UPS, 30,000.
Yeah.
30,000. I don't understand that. I simply don't get it, right?
How can Amazon and UPS be laying off? I mean, I would figure anything UPS loses is going to Amazon, but, you know, maybe it's the robotic cars.
I don't know. There was, we would talk about that, too. Washington Post?
Yeah.
300 journalists.
I mean, I got to think, Jeff Bezos, Amazon owner, bought the Washington Post essentially as an open effort to create a vehicle of resistance when him and Trump were fighting back in like 2015, 2014.
Yeah, because Washington Post is like, you know, left center, right?
Yeah, so he's like, I'm going to buy this newspaper and we are going to attack you on all this stuff you're doing. So the fact that, you know, Bezos, I don't know if you know this, he's got a little coin in his pocket. He's got some really nice boats. And yet he fired a third of the staff. There was actually a reporter who was in a bunker in Kiev covering the war in Ukraine. With no electricity. And on his cell phone, he got a notification that he'd been laid off.
Are you joking me?
He's like, you can get laid off when you're in a bunker working with no electricity in the middle of winter in a war.
That's just really wrong.
Some of these tech guys, I think, have begun to just say, that's why I'm hesitant to say name the station after the guy. I'm more on the like, let's not just give the child king what he wants.
Yeah, I get it. But, I mean, look, first of all, Washington Post is union, so they have to bargain.
The guild.
They have to bargain over at least the effects of the layoff. And it's probably by seniority, hopefully. I think his take on it was the Washington Post has never been profitable. And you know what I say to that? You have a lot of money.
Yeah.
Like,
be a good guy.
Yeah, just like, come on, man. Like, do you have to squeeze out every single nickel from every single one of your ventures? Or can you be like your ex-wife and give away money?
I think he's in the nickel squeezing business.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah.
So anyway, in the really great news, 22,000 jobs were created in January. So only 160,000 layoffs and 22,000 jobs. Where does that leave us? I'm not a mathematician. I'm no Stephen Hawking. Is he a mathematician?
Yeah, I think that's what mathematicians call a negative number.
But I'm sure that'll turn around in the press, and somehow it'll be like, grocery prices are going down, even though they've gone up significantly.
Yeah.
So, look. Once again, we just call balls and strikes. You said you're going to fix the economy. You said, the economy was terrible, but you're going to make the greatest economy in the world. And they're canceling all these projects, and all of a sudden there's layoff after layoff after layoff, and jobs getting replaced with AI.
Nobody's making enough to retire ever.
And having to drive for Uber and Lyft just to make ends meet,
right.
And now Uber and Lyft are trying to get rid of their drivers to have
Waymo. Waymo's owned by Google's parent company, Alphabet.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. But doesn't Uber and Lyft have their own version of it?
I don't think so.
No?
To the best of my knowledge, Waymo is they're the player right now, and it's owned by Alphabet.
I hope there's a driverless car, car off. You know what I mean?
Set up an obstacle course and just winner gets the market.
Or maybe equip a couple of the driverless cars with, ammunition or guns, and that they blow up the other cars.
And would you have a lady with a small child walking across the street, and it's let's see if it knows to stop. But
absolutely.
What if it doesn't stop? Never mind. This is a bad idea. We can't do this.
Don't they do that with military training though? There's a civilian pop out, and if you shoot the civilian, hey, you failed that test.
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
Let's just do that in real life.
Okay, I don't know. Well, we'll have the legal team here at WGN look into that.
Not our problem.
No, we're ideas people here, folks.
Yeah, correct. So here, I want to just say this. There is a politician here in the state of Illinois. His name is Cam Buckner.
Mm-hmm. He's been on the show.
And he's been on the show, and he's been on the transit thing and whatnot, and he's a Democrat. And
he's done a lot for unions supporting working people.
No question about it. But he proposed some legislation to allow a pilot program for Waymo.
Right.
And I don't understand it. It doesn't make sense to me. Isn't it the nose, the camel's nose in the tent or something like that, whatever that phrase is?
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Not really. Sounds okay.
It's like where the tent opens a little bit and the camel sticks his nose in, and eventually the whole camel gets inside the tent. I don't know. Something
okay.
like that.
You don't want that.
But isn't it that?
I looking at what I saw on this, I thought that there's definitely more need for regulation in this space.
Yes.
I think Representative Buckner is of that. He's understanding of that mindset. This is a maybe let's call it an opening salvo. But in other states where you're talking about bringing in autonomous vehicles and putting in Illinois 100,000 Waymo or Uber and Lyft drivers out of business.
Yeah.
You've got to have some sort of protection for that. And people are like, oh, why? Well, first and foremost, you put 100,000 people out of work and they can't get another job. They're going to be relying on unemployment.
Correct.
They're going to be relying on welfare, food stamps, all of which the burden falls on taxpayers. So
yes.
A private company should never be able to make such enormous profit at the cost of people that taxpayers are going to then have to take care of. I'm going to call that no fair capitalism.
So wait a second. So are you saying no fair? Get it?
Yeah.
Uber and Lyft?
Sure. Oh, I
taxi,
like it. Yeah. Okay.
But are you saying that if a company displaces jobs with automation, that company should have to pay for those displaced workers.
There is a social cost. I mean, this is going back to Andrew Yang when everybody thought he was nuts with the alternative, or what was it, the
universal basic income.
His whole sort of thesis on this was, if you're say Amazon and you come out with autonomous trucks and you put 200,000 people out of work, those 200,000 people are going to create a social cost, a cost to taxpayers for job retraining, substance abuse, like all the things that come with mass unemployment.
Yeah.
And the government's going to have to pay for that while the company just gets nothing but profit. And I don't think there's anybody that could really disagree with that. Now, I will say that we talked about this on Worker Wednesday, and, you know, John Hansen had said he's very supportive of, you know, this new technology coming in, and, you know, you can't resist it. And to that I say, you know, we have to be thoughtful. We have to tap the brakes on this stuff because, you know, if WGN was going to enact all of these AI hosts for all of its shows,
right,
folks around here would say, well, whoa. It's easy to support AI and all this new technology when it's somebody else's job that's going to be lost and will figure it out.
Yeah.
And so somebody's got to be out there to say, these folks are going to lose their jobs, so we have to tap the brakes here. Right. Like, we've got to think about them. Maybe they can't speak up for themselves. Somebody has to. That's what we do on the show. That's a big part of the show. That's a big part of what unions do.
But isn't it incumbent upon politicians at this point to start to do that, to start to rein in some of these companies and go, hey, listen, maybe we should tap the brakes here a little bit and make sure that, you know, if AI comes out, it's done thoughtfully.
For sure.
And it doesn't affect people's jobs or pocketbooks, or it's phased in or whatever the case may be. But to just, like, literally just don't just unfettered capitalism, like who can make the most money the quickest.
100%.
Right?
And I've talked to a bunch of people since this bill came out this week and since, you know, it was announced.
Yeah.
And I think that that's the direction it's going to go. There are a lot of people who are saying we can't just give away the store to this unknown thing and just, like, consequences, whatever they are, be damned, be darned. It will change.
We should ask him to come on the show and talk about it.
I think it's a great idea because I think he's a good guy.
Yeah.
And his heart's been in the right place for as long as I've known him. So there are good things behind this bill. And I think people just have to get together and, you know, change it to protect folks and make sure it's fully baked.
Yeah, it wasn't portrayed particularly well in the press, right?
No.
You had the feeling that, you know, this was like, here's a bill that's going to take away jobs.
Right.
And so I don't think that was his intent, perhaps, but let's find out.
Yeah, it's ripe for a good discussion, I think.
What's Mr. Cam Buckner? Welcome to the show.
Yeah.
All right. We'll take a quick break.
Yep.
And then we'll come back and we'll wrap up the show right here on 720 WGN.
You're listening to The Workers' Mic, powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premis Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare.
Welcome back, everybody, to The Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN. Ed Maher here with Ken Edwards, and we're just about to wrap up the show, but we have something really important that we wanted to touch on. We said at the top of the hour that our beloved co-host Phil Davidson was not in studio today because he had suffered a loss, and earlier this week, just a couple of days ago, we got the news that Phil lost his dad, Doug Davidson, and our hearts certainly go out to Phil and to his entire family.
Doug was a character.
He was a character. And while Phil couldn't be in the studio, he wanted to send along, you know, just a tribute to his dad. So we're going to hand it over to Phil, and we'll be back with you next week.
It's your old pal Phil Davidson here, and I just want to take a moment to do a proper send-off to my dad, Douglas Davidson, who passed away this week at the age of 83. I really appreciate you indulging me for this brief tribute to him. My dad was as loyal a listener of The Workers' Mic as there ever was. Every week after the show, he would call me and give me his feedback, not all of it positive, not all of it solicited. But he loved radio so much. He was a radio guy. Could probably tell you the names of every WGN morning show and afternoon show host from 1958 to present day. He was, he loved WGN, and I think it made him especially proud that his son got to host a show on one of the legendary radio networks. My dad was a champion of working people, and like me, was a beneficiary of growing up in a union household. His dad worked on trains and was a local chairman for the Brotherhood of Locomotive Firemen, and was able, based on his union membership, to raise a family of five children and provide for them. And so my dad got to see that firsthand. I know it had an impact on him. Another thing I want to say about my dad is he was one of the funniest guys you'll ever meet. He was quick with a joke and always fun to be around, keeping his friends and family in stitches. So, just want to say, rest easy, Snarf. We love you, Dad. And thanks to all the listeners for allowing me this tribute to him.
Yeah. All right, listen, we'll be back next week with more of The Worker's Mic right here on 720 WGN.
The preceding episode of The Worker's Mic was powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premis Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare. For additional information and podcasts of The Worker's Mic, visit WGNradio.com.